When you face a problem like that, chances are there's going to be some risk entailed. It's not an easy solution or an easy problem to solve for, or else it would have been solved already. And so you have to be willing to take some risk.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull. And on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a conversation with my friend, Peter Brooks. Peter is the VP of Talent Acquisition at Northrop Grumman. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, looking forward to our conversation. So let's kind of start out as we always do and talk a little bit about your background, how you got started in recruiting, where you've been, previous roles, those types of things.
Sure. Yeah. One of the most interesting questions in any TA career is, how did you get started in TA? So I came out of school thinking I was going to be in higher education, and I pursued my graduate degrees and wound up working for a publishing company out in the Midwest when a friend of mine called me and said, hey, if you're interested in relocating back to the East Coast, there's this thing called technical recruiting, and I think you're good at it. And I said, well, I'm not technical and I don't really know what recruiting is, but I'll give it a shot. So started my journey in a staffing agency that way and quickly moved into management and then did a variety of different things. I went to the corporate executive board for a while, helping influence C-level executives, especially in the HR suite, around decisions they were taking for their organizations. And then decided I was long enough in my career that I should declare a major and came back to recruiting full time. And I've been in various recruiting leadership roles since then.
That's great. Would you mind sharing some of, were they all with Northrop, or where did you go from?
No, and you know, it's interesting. I started my career really on the commercial side of the ledger and spent a variety of different roles exploring kind of different commercial interests. After 9/11, like a lot of people in this country, I took some time to reflect and pause on how I wanted to spend my career and where I wanted to spend my energy, and tried to get into a public sector role supporting our national security posture. Being a commercial person, that took a little bit of time, but finally, Booz Allen Hamilton bet forward on me, and I started there recruiting in their IT recruiting organization. Went to Microsoft and then Task, which was a subsidiary previously of Northrop Grumman, and then kind of moved up to the mothership subsequent to that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and real diverse background. Appreciate your thought and reflection. And it's a cool story and very successful career thus far. So let's talk a little bit about your experience at Northrop Grumman and kind of in your leadership role. Talk a little bit about kind of how, where the organization was when you joined and kind of some of the initiatives and kind of what's happened during your time there leading the function.
Yeah, you know, Northrop Grumman obviously has a stellar reputation going back decades now. And so when I came into the organization, it was a very solid organization, but one that was predicated maybe on some old modeling on how talent acquisition works and the technology to support that function, and really the roles and responsibilities of a talent acquisition business professional. And so I was delighted to interview, met with several business leaders who were very forward thinking, not only about what they wanted to do within the enterprise, but also understanding the upcoming shifts in the labor market and the way we would need to compete for talent moving forward. One of the things that was most striking about Northrop, there have been a lot of companies over the last several years that have focused or redoubled their energies on diversity, equity, and inclusion, not only from an aspirational standpoint, but from a very practical, what does that mean from a recruiting standpoint? And when I was interviewing with Northrop, one of the things that was very attractive to me is that the company was, I would say, very early on an adopter of a much more inclusive type recruiting environment, and they understood the importance of diversity, equity, inclusion, what we were trying to do from a talent perspective. So when you already have senior executive buy-in with that at that level, it makes operationalizing a diversity recruiting strategy so much more effective. That was really one of the key draws to coming to Northrop Grumman for me.
Yeah, that's great. And so you joined, found that to be the case. And then how about maybe some of the initiatives that you and your team led over the last couple of years, as well as maybe providing a little scope for the audience around how many you have on your team, how many roles that you fill on an annual basis, those types of things?
Yeah, so we have, depending on seasonality and so forth, around 400 recruiters, and we generally recruit somewhere between 15,000 and 17,000 people per year. So pretty active recruiting posture in this labor market. I think probably the biggest thing for me, and you know, I'm getting to the point in my career where I can start to see the horizon. And so it's important for me, I think, as a steward of our profession, to think about how do we equip the up-and-coming generation of recruiters and early career talent, as well as our next generation recruiting leadership, to enjoy the same kind of profession that we have. And frankly, with the kinds of increases in technology, machine learning, AI is really just starting to crest now. It's more imperative, I think, than ever for recruiters to bring a value-added perspective to any conversation they're having with the business. So how do they influence decision-making? How do they help business leaders understand the state of the labor market relative to the positions they're trying to fill, adjacent labor markets? How do you expand labor pools by creating diverse pipelines of talent into the organization? If we focus on developing, I think, early career recruiters to be true talent advisors in that respect, you can leverage all the goodness that comes from technology, but you can also provide careers long-term for people that find this a profession as valuable as I do.
Yeah, I think that's great. I appreciate you being a steward and an advocate for that type of growth and change. Talk with us a little bit, if you wouldn't mind, around some of the key initiatives that you have going forward with your team. What are maybe a couple things that are priorities for you from now going forward as you start looking into next year?
Yeah, well, so, you know, very early on, probably starting about 3 years ago, working with the Business Roundtable, and then subsequent to the George Floyd situation, there was an association formed called the 110 Initiative, which seeks to employ over 1 million Black individuals formerly unemployed into meaningful career paths over the next decade. And we took a leadership role in both of those efforts. And both of them are predicated on something that I think is extremely important as we look at the demographics in the labor market today. And that is, we are not graduating nearly enough STEM talent to be able to deliver on the kinds of technology that most of our businesses are engaged in. And so how do you expand that labor pool? And frankly, the best way to do that is to take a much more skills-oriented approach to recruiting. And it seems easy enough on the surface. Okay, well, we'll just interview for skills instead of pedigree. But you really have to deconstruct that and think about, okay, well, how do you ascertain those skills in lieu of pedigree? And then once you've captured that talent, once you've brought people on board, how do you create meaningful career paths that are based on these skills evolutions? How do you scope compensation that is based entirely on skills as opposed to years of experience, for example? It becomes, I think, very complex very quickly. And that is something that I think there are a lot of companies involved with. IBM is certainly out in front on this issue. But I think as we look at the state of the demographics in this country around the next generation of talent and what we're going to need to do to fulfill our talent needs, it's going to be imperative for us to change the paradigm in how we qualify talent and then how we develop that talent once it's on board.
Yeah, that's a big initiative. And I know it's on the forefront for a lot of organizations. I think it's a little bit polarizing. Some believe wholeheartedly in it. Some are skeptical of it. But you're absolutely right that it is no small undertaking, right? It's a complete almost re-engineering of how you look at things, how you decide who's right for the different roles. And it's not only from how you recruit them, but also culturally in the organization, how they select. And so it's a big change initiative. Be interesting to see how that continues to play out in the marketplace, I think.
I think one key thing, well, I'll say actually two key things. One, for the skeptics out there, I'm not sure what alternatives we have to expanding the labor pool. And when you think about, just for an example, you think about the number of qualified individuals that are coming out of the military in any given year, many of whom have very in-depth, hands-on experience, but maybe not degreed. That's a perfect kind of channel for talent that I'm talking about. The second thing is, I think it's really important to note that it's not an either or, all or nothing, zero sum kind of equation. Companies like ours certainly are not going to disregard degrees, especially for jobs that require them. We're putting the James Webb Telescope into space. I'm pretty sure that the enterprise architect for that mission had a pretty significant degree. And so it's not to take an either or posture, it's both and that's how we need to solve the labor problem.
I couldn't agree more. I think that's a great way of summarizing it and knowing that, hey, it's by different talent pools or different subsets is, hey, this is where, based on the labor pools, we're going to have to look at more skills-based here. We're going to continue where we're at. But again, that adds a lot of complexity that it's going to be difficult for leaders and teams to be able to navigate and drive that change and help organizations successfully come through that. So, but valuable work, great work. So I appreciate you sharing your knowledge on that. So you talked a little bit about helping teams become talent advisors and enjoying kind of the wonderful careers in talent acquisition profession like you and I have had. But what's some advice that you would have for folks coming through to help them become kind of those high strategic value talent advisors and be successful in the talent acquisition profession?
That's a great question, and one that I get from some of our early career folks all the time. And it really depends on your organization and key kind of initiatives that your organization is doing. But one of the premises that I've always gone with is look to the problems that are keeping your boss up at night. And generally, those are hard problems. And when you face a problem like that, chances are there's going to be some risk entailed. It's not an easy solution or an easy problem to solve for, or else it would have been solved already. And so you have to be willing to take some risk. But if you go in eyes wide open, you ensure that your manager, the team is well equipped and supported from the top down, that's really where you're going to make a mark for yourself. One thing to come in and do a job and do it well, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you really want to advance career-wise, look for those problems that are proving the most difficult for an organization or your manager or your functional team to address and get involved in helping solve those. That, to me, is really a key in terms of getting ahead.
Yeah, I agree. It's really around, like, how do you solve problems that generate the greatest business value? Like, how do you solve problems that move the business forward, not just move your function forward or your team forward or enough transactions to move your metrics? It's really about, like, hey, how do we move things in a way that is generating increased amounts of business value? I think that's great advice and great guidance.
Great way to put it.
Well, great. Well, Peter, I appreciate you joining me today. Thanks very much. I appreciate you sharing your story and your knowledge with the community, and appreciate you very much. So thank you.
Great. Likewise. I love your podcast. Thank you for having me on and look forward to seeing episodes in the future.
That sounds great. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.